Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Brady and Walker. Now, TV. Sportsnet 360. Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back, Brady and Walker, the 3 o'clock hour. So as we speak, the Edmonton Oilers are embarking on the new era of their franchise. They're getting set to have a news conference today. There's been change everywhere over the last 8 seasons for this club, but not a lot at the top and certainly not a lot in the standings. Coaches have been fired. Players have been drafted and traded and drafted again. But at the top lies names like Patrick LaForge and Kevin Lowe and Craig McTavish. They've always been there. They're out. Peter Chiarelli, the architect of the Boston Bruins, in. Bob Nicholson, in, calling the shots. A little better than same old, if you're an Oilers fan. I get it. Fans around the league don't like the Oilers. They may still resent their history a little bit. They sure as hell resent the team and their fans living in the past. And nobody likes the fact they got Connor McDavid. So is that the turning point of a once proud franchise? Will we now see the Oilers return to glory and win a cup, make the playoffs first, with finally a new superstar and new names up top? Or is this team destined to just kind of wallow where they are just because? Well, as somebody that does long for the return of Canadian teams to prominence in the Western Conference, I think I can say better late than never.
Sportsnet 360, sportsnet.ca/590, and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It's Brady and Walker, 3 o'clock hour. How y'all doing? We've got Andrew Cogliano going to join us bottom of the hour from the Anaheim Ducks. They are home and clear and waiting to play either the Calgary Flames or the Vancouver Canucks. Game 6 tomorrow on CBC from the Saddle Dome. And yeah, you mentioned the other Alberta team. Just announced in Edmonton, Peter Chiarelli will be president of hockey operations and the general manager. Again, some of us are suspicious, sniffing out whether Brendan Shanahan's going to do both roles here or not. We'll see. But Peter Chiarelli is indeed that person. He's got the autonomy. He's got the say. Probably answers only on the hockey side, really, to the guy who signs the checks in Daryl Cates. And I suppose Bob Nicholson, but I don't think Bob Nicholson's going to say, hey, I know the league better than you. That's an unlikely proposition.
Three kind of moments for this team. And yeah, that just came down. That he is basically the new Kevin Lowe and the new Craig McTavish at Edmonton. So three moments. They finally bring in a guy to oversee everything in Bob Nicholson. And he's finally the guy with the vision and the power afforded to him to say, okay, like enough's enough. There's some good building blocks here. If we're going to change things, it has to start at the top.
Kevin Lowe, by the way, will be vice chair of Oilers Entertainment Group. He's out of hockey operations for the first time in about 15 years.
Out to pasture, basically. So Bob Nicholson makes that change. They win Connor McDavid the other day. And I wonder if this expedited any different plan that Bob Nicholson had for this team, saying all of a sudden our vision of where we wanted to be and everything that's gone wrong here just got bumped up by a couple of years because we have the best prospect coming in the last 30 years. And then it's today. Peter Chiarelli, recently fired by the Boston Bruins, is the new president and GM.
Let's ask. We got thoughts on it, and you laid them out and very well said. Let's lay out some of our thoughts in a sec. We want yours on what Edmonton will be in the very short term. You talked about it, and it generated some interest with McDavid and thinking – it's just inevitable. You called it idiot-proof, and you're not the only one who has, but let's lay things out for Edmonton in the next year or two. What's the first move, the second move, the third move? An Oilers general manager, now we know who it is, and Peter Chiarelli should make. What should he not do? 416-870-0590, star 590, 888-666-0590, and of course, you can tweet at us, at Brady and Walker. Again, Andrew Cogliano, bottom of the hour, a little more Raptors before then as well, with Game 3 tonight. We have Game 4 on this radio station, 630. Eric Smith will call it on Sportsnet 590 The Fan on Sunday night. I'm fascinated also to see where the coaching thing goes. We will talk about that because there are other vacancies out there. Elliot Friedman reported earlier today the San Jose Sharks have asked for and been given permission to talk to Randy Carlyle, which is interesting because he's still under contract to the Maple Leafs. That's how it works. It's probably bad news for Todd Nelson.
Yeah, probably is. You're right.
But is Edmonton, I'll put it this way, it's been sort of that old, I don't have the list of their all their head coaches in front of me, but they've never really gone out and got the hot commodity as far as coaching free agents go, I'm saying. Coaching free agents.
Dallas Eakins.
Was he the hot? I don't want to disparage Dallas Eakins. I think he's
at the time. Great. Yes. You can't look in retrospect now.
That was kind of a shocking hire, though, to fire Ralph Kruger after 1 year. No one thought Ralph Kruger was getting fired at the end of the year, and the Oilers said as much at the end of their year. I know things can change, and they knew Eakins was available anyway. They didn't. They took their time in doing it. They didn't do it till close to a month, eight weeks after they were eliminated.
To be fair, they've gone in almost every direction behind the bench, right? They tried to get the mentor and Pat Quinn. They tried to bring in the teacher and Tom Rennie, who has a lot of experience around the league. They tried to go with the different kind of wrinkle and Ralph Kruger. Then they went with the hot new analytics guy on the block in Dallas Eakins. Nothing has worked out. And Todd Nelson was always painted as the interim guy. And you're right. With Peter Chiarelli coming on.
This is bad.
Yeah, it's probably bad news for him unless he stays on as an assistant. I guess that's what they evaluate.
We were going to kick this around a little bit on Mike Babcock. And I know what you think, and I think you know what I think. I don't think he's coming back to Detroit. What I've never said is I'm convinced and convicted that he'll be the Maple Leafs coach, but I've always thought it's a strong possibility. Is it less of a possibility without a Connor McDavid? Is it less of a possibility because they were such a runaway train on fire in the last 4 months? Yeah, I'd say. But I don't think when you pay a guy and you do certain things, he'll get over that quickly. And we know teams can turn around in this league and go places. I don't think Mike Babcock is in the least interested in coaching the Edmonton Oilers. A lot of people want to put that out there. I do think Todd McClellan would be very interested. And you and I have both said, I've said it's either Babcock or McClellan here. You know and think Toronto was really curious about McClellan last spring. Would you, if someone said, hey, come to the betting window and lay odds on a head coach for Edmonton next year, do you have a name that you love that you'd bet on to make the money?
The Chiarelli thing changes everything, right? Because, you know, has Todd McClellan have conversations there? I'm sure he has. They just handed a whole lot of autonomy to a new guy. And I don't know exactly what Peter Chiarelli's vision is. I don't know. Like, you and I talk about Mike Babcock a lot. We've talked to Mike Babcock. He comes on the show sometimes. But the one thing that I roll my eyes at sometimes is I have my theories. You have your, but they're just opinions. We don't know. Right, we've never talked to Mike Babcock, and he's given us a nudge, nudge, wink, wink. I think if all you can do is put yourself in his shoes, if I'm Mike Babcock, I stay in Detroit because you are afforded a chance to be a winning type of team each and every year, and he's as responsible for the culture there as anybody. And they'll give him a lot of money, maybe as not as much money as he can make here, but I'm not touching Toronto if I'm him. Edmonton's a different wrinkle. Like you've already said, and again, I get mad at you because you say, if I'm Connor McDavid, I don't even report.
I want it for a story more than anything. I don't wish ill on the Oilers franchise. I like the Oilers.
But I look at, a city like Edmonton, and no, it's not Paris, France. I mean, if that's the be-all and end-all, is how pretty a city is, I guess, hey, priorities to everybody. They do have Connor McDavid. They are getting a beautiful new rink in about a calendar year. They have a lot of money, right, from Daryl Cates. Mike Babcock is from Saskatoon, which is a stone's throw away. I don't know. I've heard a couple people discuss it. I guess sitting here today, would that be the most stunning thing I've ever heard in my life with Bob Nicholson there and Peter Chiarelli now there? It wouldn't be the most surprising thing I've ever heard in my life.
I think it's going to be regardless. I think the free agent market for coaches is going to be unbelievably tense. There's going to Babcock,
and it might still get bigger.
Babcock, right? Yes, and we neglect to mention Dan Bylsma. People have to think of, obviously, the opportunity was there in Vancouver. The opportunity seemed to potentially be there in Florida.
Peter DeBoer
wants
the
right. Yes, he wants the right fix. So Philly's vacant, San Jose's vacant, Toronto's vacant, and Edmonton could be vacant, and Buffalo is also vacant, and you're still stepping in there and coaching a guy who could have gone number one in any of the last three or four of the last six drafts. He probably goes ahead of McKinnon. He might go ahead of Nugent Hopkins. That's what people think of Jack Eichel.
So let's say you're Mike Papp. Let's say you're anybody, right? it's all about your personal criteria. If Mike Babcock is sitting there when the Red Wings playoff run ends, whenever that is, and he says, the most important thing to me is the money. That's all I think about. Well, then there's one spot for him, and it's here. If he says, the only thing I care about is the culture and the comfort and knowing the ins and outs and my comfort zone, then it's Detroit. If he thinks, I want to take my profession and go to a hockey type of market, maybe it's Philly.
Yeah.
Or if he says, I want to coach Connor McDavid and get a decent amount of money and go to a place that loves their hockey closer to home, then it might be Edmonton. I don't know what Mike Babcock thinks.
I'll tell you what also, Buffalo, I'm going to mention Buffalo as a Babcock spot only because I think they can compete money-wise. He may not be interested. They didn't get McDavid. He may be less interested, but the Terry Pegula will spend what MLSE will. He just paid $1.4 billion for a football team, and he just paid to get Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan could have had other jobs. Rex Ryan came to Buffalo. Rex Ryan could have gone somewhere warm, could have gone somewhere with a better quarterback. He didn't. Right. He came here.
But
so he bought a good coach.
But of all those teams
or a coach he wanted.
When you're talking about winning in short order, and I don't even mean winning, I mean being relevant, making the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't know where Edmonton is. I do think that this is a big summer for them because I think now with Connor McDavid, you are flipping some stuff around. Peter Trelly's not going to just sit there and bring home the same roster next year. But Toronto and Buffalo, I don't care if Mike Babcock has the biggest ego in the world and thinks his coaching can cure anything. And I'm not saying he says that.
Yeah.
Buffalo and Toronto aren't close. Not close.
In terms of where they're going in the next five years or in terms of
being 500 next year?
No, right? Neither of them are. I thought you meant Toronto had a much better promising next 5 years.
Is Mike Babcock willing to go somewhere and win 31 games?
Yeah.
Ugh, what a miserable existence.
And you know what I always say, cheaper tax rate, cheaper real estate. But you don't think, when you have $5 million,
when you're making $75,000, you might think that, yes.
How'd you know? That's a little high for Wayne.
I'm not saying you did.
Wayne and Lindsay, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We'll switch the gears to Raptors Wizards in just a little bit. Go ahead, Wayne.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Yeah, really good.
Listen, first of all, Babcock, if he comes to Toronto, we may hit 500. The best deal Edmonton ever did was what they did with the guy they just hired and got rid of all the old fogies that have been hanging around there for the last 20 years. Ever since Glenn Sather was there, everybody that in the organization, they retired, they got a position up top. And if you look at it, you know that's true.
It has been quite strange, but Andrew would tell you...
Glenn Sather left like 15 years ago.
Yeah, Andrew would tell you, and I'd tell you, there is that... I've heard it described by people very entrenched in hockey, like there's just an unrequited arrogance that the Oilers organization have had. And it goes from the top right to media relations. It's difficult to get players and coaches.
Sure.
It's amazing how much more difficult it is. And you're like, why? Because you won a cup 25. Honestly, and it's been, if that part of the culture is gone, if Peter Chiarelli changes that. And yet at the same time in 06, Andrew, it was, nobody was complaining. Nobody was bitching. They signed Pronger, signed Pekka, signed Samsonov. Horkov was working out.
Sure.
Pisani was working out.
McTavish looked like a genius. Kevin
Lowe
looked like a genius.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Sure.
Absolutely. Craig Simpson was on the bench. Everything was working for them.
But what Wayne is saying there, and I think a lot of people certainly out west agree with him, like Connor McDavid is a turning point. But the biggest turning point, and one that they've been screaming for years there, was cleaning house up top.
And you'll get better coaching candidates for Chiarelli than you would have for Lowe and McTavish still being there and lurking around hanging.
No question.
Yeah, we agree there. All right, calling the game tonight on the Washington Wizards Radio Network, Game 3 Raptors Wizards. We have Game 4, by the way, here, Sportsnet 590 Defense, 6:30 start time Friday, or rather Sunday. Today is Friday. I'll get it right. Dave Johnson in his 17th season calling Washington Wizards games. Dave, thanks for taking the time to do this on a game day as well. We greatly appreciate it across the country in Canada today.
Yeah, no, look, I'm fired up for it. And, you know, this is why it's been tough. Sometimes we've had losing seasons, and I got to get that change in my bio because it's actually my 18th season. But I know it's which bio you're reading from, but that's wrong. But I tell you, as I talk to you here in Washington D.C., this is a city that has had a lot of sports struggles and a lot of bad times, and it's feeling good about itself today. And you know how this goes when a winning team does to a city. Well, it's not just the Wizards, but the Capitals won last night, so. There's some real People keep coming up with that word mojo, and that's the feeling now. But it's something that obviously the Raptors want to kill the party.
So how how big? I mean, we had Jerome Williams on, who grew up there and went to Georgetown. You know his work well. We asked him about being there, and yeah, are the Wizards potentially peaking in popularity? They've had Weber, Juwan Howard, Gilbert Arenas. Maybe they haven't touched where they even are right now with Wall and Beal and Pierce.
I don't think they've touched where they are with Wall and Beal, because if you want to call it resurrection or whatever is the correct word, really started the last couple of years. And look, John Wall and Bradley Beal, as Toronto fans, I'm sure appreciate, are exciting young players. So the city starts to get energized. As Jerome will tell you, this is a good basketball city, but it's just not had a lot of. Obviously Georgetown has had success on the college level, and Maryland, and there's been some college success stories. But historically, this was a great pro basketball town, because the then Washington Bullets, if you look back from the 70s, they were one of the dominant teams. And so the 70s, kind of the generation I grew up in, that so many people grew up in, but it's been more difficult recently, and there's been false starts. The Juwan Howard and Chris Webber, all of a sudden that was gone, and the Wizards make the playoffs, and Michael Jordan anoints that team as the team of the future, but it didn't happen. The Gilbert Arenas years, make no mistake, that was a great time. Buzzer beaters and 30 points a game and four straight playoff appearances. But injuries and other things, that never really, that fizzled out after 4 years. So now that this is stirring again, there's real hope that this will be something that's, I know you, Toronto fans can appreciate, you want to have sustained success, whether certainly it's in hockey or certainly it's basketball. And that's what people here are hoping for and believe, maybe because Wall and Beal are so good, so young, that can happen.
So your take on this series so far, your level of surprise or expectancy that we are, where we're at right now. I know, the Raptors had their moments where they struggled in the second half, and obviously the Wizards did as well, but nobody saw Toronto playing as poorly as they did in these first two games. Did you see a 2-0 lead coming back?
I didn't see a 2-0 lead, even though it's oddly enough, and again, it's a crazy stat with Randy Whitman as head coach of the Wizards, now 7-1 in road games over the last 2 years. That just, that defies logic and doesn't make any sense. There was a lot made about, okay, the Wizards haven't beat the Raptors, since the city of Toronto was founded or whatever it was. It had a lot of struggles. Had not had a win this regular season. But if you looked at the last two meetings before the playoffs started on Saturday in Toronto, there was one overtime Toronto win and one 2-point game. So then you're saying, all right, well, this is a couple of pretty evenly matched teams that both, by the way, went through their share of ups and then share of adversity in the regular season. So the fact that the first game went into overtime, that didn't surprise me. The fact that, I mean, it was a great playoff defense, I thought for both teams that contributed to the low scoring of the game. But I didn't expect, I expected what happened at the start. Toronto was going to come out swinging hard, and the Wizards were rocked early in that game on Tuesday night. But I don't know if I should say I didn't expect. I knew the Wizards would respond, but I didn't think, late in the game that the Wizards would be in as control as they were, just because, like, I went through a triple overtime game with these two teams a season ago. So, when you put the Wizards and Raptors on the court early, I don't make post-game dinner plans. I usually expect a long night.
Dave Johnson joining us, calling the game tonight, Wizards-Raptors. Before you go, give us a thought on Bradley Beal and what the water temperature was like with them drafting him at number three. He obviously had an awesome game, too. If you look at that draft, could they have, Damian Lillard's been great. Harrison Barnes has been about what people expected. Could they have gone a different direction? Was it a popular pick? A lot of people love Deion Waiters coming out, and he went right after him to the Cavs. And this is before anybody could foresee LeBron coming back. So it was another top five pick and another young gun for the Cavs. What was the Beal pick like in terms of reaction?
I think there were, there was at the time, there was happiness with it. But then, as you described it, how it works, that Bradley Beal's a couple of good games, bad games. People say, "Oh, you could have had X or whatever." But when he has success, it's pure genius and what a steal. But whatever the reaction is, I think last year he gave us a big enough sample size, and especially in the playoff. He's so young, yeah. He's 21 years old. That he gave us a big enough sample that people realize, you know what, this kid is something, and he's far from done improving or growing. And I think also from the fan base standpoint, they see where John Wall is today, and he came into the league very young. So this John Wall that is playing now, that is dropping 17 assists in a playoff game, is not the John Wall that came into the league 5 years ago. So I think that's where the excitement exists. The key thing is to keep Bradley Beal healthy. I'm not making excuses. I said Bradley Beal is going to be an all-star this year. It didn't happen because of these leg injuries that would sideline him for 9 games in December. And at this point and that point, next thing you know, it's not an all-star season. The next thing you know, it's a struggle just to get his fitness. So the long way of answering your question, mm-hmm. I think there is, especially now that we're in the playoffs, a lot of excitement about Bradley Beal. But there's memory about last year, regardless of the here and now. This is a player that's got a tremendous, I guess the click word is upside, and I think we certainly saw flashes of that Tuesday night.
So does this Wizards team, pardon me, have the killer instinct? Everyone's sitting and waiting and watching, and I think thinking here in Toronto that you just got to go on the road and put it all together, win one game, and you're back in the series. Do you see the Wizards even for a second letting that happen tonight?
Well, can it happen? Yes. I mean, that's two different things. I remember last year, the Wizards came back from Chicago flying high, and then you talk about taking the air out of the balloon, the Bulls won game three. And then suddenly it's 2-1, and suddenly it's, you're tight for game four. So nobody's organizing a parade down Connecticut Avenue, which is one of our main streets in D.C. It's so hard to beat, I don't care what sport, baseball, four-game series, or to beat a single team wherever it's played, four straight games. So that's the challenge that obviously the Wizards are facing. And, will they let it happen? They're not going to let it happen. But is Toronto capable of upsetting the series and bringing it back to Toronto? Absolutely. And I think just from the sense I get around the Raptors, and I could not be more impressed with, first of all, Toronto's a great city, but the fan base in Toronto, the passion that they bring, and the people out there in that Jurassic Park. And I think people listening to this should take, I know Paul Pierce is the villain of the century right now in Toronto, but when a Paul Pierce, as he did Saturday, makes the point of saying that when the Brooklyn Nets eliminated the Raptors last season, he said he didn't want to come back to Toronto for a playoff series because of how good the crowd is and was. So that's a credit to the passion that exists with the Raptors. So I think you're going to have a Raptors team that is loose. What do they got to lose? They're just going to come in, play hard, and in some ways that gives them a little bit of advantage. And I think they feel a responsibility to the fan base that has been so good to them. So it's from Wizards' perspective, no question, it feels good to be up 2 games to none. But is anybody relaxing, or should they? Absolutely not.
No, really good stuff, Dave. Very thoughtful stuff as well. Now, before you go, did Drake give you a congratulatory handshake as well, or was that just Paul Pierce? People are angry about that. He's a global ambassador, and he's fist bumping Wizards players. I don't know.
I get left out of everything. That's how it is being on the radio. We do. On and stay away from the controversy.
That's how it goes. Have a great call tonight, and thanks so much for our visit today. We appreciate it.
All the best.
Dave Johnson, radio play-by-play voice, Washington Wizards. I'm glad, we all do like our little affirmation moments, and you could play that back, and he's right about the fans. And I know sometimes I've mocked you a little bit, and you go, hey, just enjoy the ride. But we've said this before as well. The dark years were not that long ago, and they were pretty dark. Like you said, we're 18 months away
irrelevant.
From... Hey, because I heard people, I really respect their basketball acumen, who said, great job trading Rudy Gay. Now get rid of Lowry. Now, and they had a deal worked out with the Knicks. Now, even DeMar DeRozan, I'm like, you got to clear it. You got to clear the decks that much that you're going to trade a number 9 draft pick who's actually worked out. A lot of number 9s don't. A lot of guys after three don't work out.
No, they went from being irrelevant to, hey, right now the fact that you're disappointed that they're down 2-0 and are playing for their season tonight, it means in some matter of speaking, they're relevant, and at least it's good. Granted, all that said, I do know you are still the guy, though, that goes to concerts and when Sarah McLachlan says, hey, you guys are the best crowd ever, Toronto, you say, hey, she's talking to us.
Yes.
She's talking to us. We're the best ever.
I do feel that.
She might say that in every city.
But you forget where you are, and if you say Cleveland and you're in Cincinnati,
that's
it's
true.
Troublesome.
Trouble.
All right, so let's do what to watch, what to avoid. Andrew Cogliano next.
Brady and Walker want to help you plan your night of TV watching this evening.
I don't remember asking you a thing.
What you should tune into and avoid like a modern-day plague.
Well, allow me to retort.
Do we just want to blow this up and just debate about Bruce Jenner?
Absolutely.
Do you want me to call you and tell you what he said?
No, I don't.
Can I?
This is what I'm not watching. And this, on the same night that the Jays go for their fourth win in a row and the Raptors play in the playoffs and we got a billion NHL playoff games, you are watching Bruce Jenner
Raptors change his
gender.
Well, I'll Raptors will be over by then, and it's a 2-hour sit down. I might, you know, the more I think about it, I might watch it tomorrow morning. But Bruce Jenner was the very first Olympian I ever knew. So would this be like Apollo Anton Ono for you? Would this be like, who would this be like? Like Katarina Witt? Like, I'm just telling you, I'm not talking about.
We'll say Silken Lauman.
Silken Lauman. Okay. But we'll see what transpires here.
Miriam Bedard.
I am kind of fascinated by what he says because he's been married 3 times and he's got 7 kids. And you've seen him. We've seen more of him on the Kardashians. What were you thinking
Stop making stupid
people
famous.
But you've watched Kardashian stuff.
Well, I'm aware of the show, yes. I know.
It's on in my house and I don't leave the room, but I don't watch it.
I've seen Kim Kardashian naked. Who hasn't?
Who hasn't?
Not in person.
Look, I'm fascinated by this stuff. I want to see where it goes.
Maybe in person.
I'm interested. I'm really interested to see what he says.
Right.
It's going to dip great. I'm more than an Oprah interviewing Lance Armstrong.
He's going to say, I'm not going to rip him for this. What he's going to say is, I lived 65 years as a man, and now I want to be a woman. That's what he's going to say.
Okay, I don't have to watch now. I couldn't put all that together in my own head.
There's only, like, there's not a third option. You're kind of one
there's
of the
probably
other,
not.
Aren't you?
Yeah. Coming up, Andrew Cogliano. He'll join us. 3 NHL games tonight. We'll talk about that. And, oh, boy, our Friday mailbag. If you want to tweet at Brady and Walker a question, probably not based on the last 3 minutes of radio, we'll accept it. It's Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more Brady and Walker on your TV at Sportsnet 360, online at sportsnet.ca/590, and on your radio at Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It's Brady and Walker, Bob McCown coming up with Primetime Sports at 4 o'clock. Jays, Rays tonight. We've got your starting lineup. Andrew Cogliano, by the way, a couple minutes from the Anaheim Ducks. Reyes, Travis, Donaldson will DH batting third. Edwin, Valencia, Pilar, Tolleson at left field. Dalton Pompeo will play center. Josh Tolley gets his first start of the season, catching R.A. Dickey. Drew Smiley pitching for Tampa. That's all we know. First of three, then they go to Fenway after Sunday.
And, of course, Valencia and Tolleson, different players, different hitters when there's a left-handed pitcher on the bump. So that's the reason for that. Jose Bautista. Alex Anthopoulos said earlier today he will avoid the disabled list, which is good news, and they hope that he is ready in time to DH for Monday's series opener. So we're waiting on Andrew Cogliano, the Anaheim Ducks, the first team, the only team right now through to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. 3 more series continue tonight. The Ottawa Senators, the Montreal Canadiens goes at CBC at 7, Pittsburgh and the Rangers on Sportsnet at 7, late game tonight, Minnesota-St. Louis, 9:30 on Sportsnet. Which of these series, our next show is going to be Monday afternoon, 1 p.m., which of these series will be over by the time we discuss them on Monday? The Ottawa Senators, it's a difficult win.
That's one.
You're down 3-0. They get a win in game 4. Now they're down 3-1. This is the difficult one, though, right? Like, tonight is the one where the Sens have the smallest percentage of winning. Because if you can eke out a win tonight, this is what they'd be saying in Ottawa. You eke out a win tonight, well, then you have home ice, and anything can happen in game seven.
If I said to you, because I have it in my mind, what's going to seven games? I think I know that, but I don't know what's over by Monday. So three series went seven games last year. Sharks-Kings, famously. Rangers-Philly, and that was almost a homer series the whole way. And Minnesota came back in Colorado and won that series 4-3. How many? Give me a seven-game series or two. You're sure we'll go seven?
Well, I'm not sure of anything.
Okay.
But Red Wings-Tampa's going seven.
Hmm.
I mean, again, you're splitting the next two. Minnesota, St. Louis obviously has a great chance to go seven. The New York Islanders are down 3-2 heading home. So potentially the last game ever at Nassau Coliseum.
I want that to go seven.
To force a game seven in back in Washington. Sure I do.
Yeah.
Well, and let me ask you this. Edmonton-Calgary. Or sorry, Calgary-Vancouver.
I think it's going seven now. And I can't believe I counted Vancouver.
You saw a momentum shift?
Yeah, no, maybe it's just hope upon hope, but that's
I mean,
what
hey,
I would say.
Like, who wouldn't want to see a game seven? Obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still think that I haven't seen enough from
Calgary
Vancouver.
Calgary wasn't rattled by losing last night, put it that way. And no. It wasn't that kind of game that they had wrapped up and then there's an empty net and then you lose in overtime or anything like that. Our next guest finishing his fourth full regular season with the Anaheim Ducks, and he has some time off. His team will play the winner of either the Calgary Flames or Vancouver Canucks. Former Edmonton Oiler as well. Andrew Cogliano, kind enough to join us in his hometown and across the country on Sportsnet 360. Andrew, thanks for taking the time to do this. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, we're talking a lot about this series. We'll ask you about the series, but what do you do over the next four or five games? Practices are obviously lighter. There's no need to worry about travel. Do you watch really, really closely, especially because you know you're down to two opponents? Will you watch the Canucks and Flames really closely?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, you're waiting to see who you play. And until you don't really know, that's when the real preparation starts. No, we had a practice today, and we'll practice tomorrow and have a day off Sunday and then get ready next week. But, you know, we're still, you know, to be honest, we're pretty dialed in, and we want to keep things going. We want to keep guys skating and keeping things you know, where we left off for obviously the last game, and we don't want any bad habits to get into play. So we're obviously taking things continuing.
No, I'm sure we lost him right
there.
We're having a bit of a raunchy phone for a second there or two.
What I wanna ask him, is he still there? Gone? What I wanna ask him is, because you look at your perfect scenario.
Hey, Andrew.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we lost you just for a quick second there. So sorry, Andrew's going to ask you another question.
Yeah. When you look at this series, I know you won't say obviously the Winnipeg Jets series wasn't easy. We all watched it, but was it almost perfect for you guys? Because you look at, okay, what did we accomplish here? We learned how to play from behind a little bit in the playoffs. You guys came back, well, four times in four games. You played in as crazy of an environment as you will see the rest of the way. You game three in Winnipeg, that was off the charts. And you're able to sit back now and get some rest and wait up for the next opponent. Could you have seen that series going any better?
Yeah, you know, I really do feel like, you know, at the end of the day, it was, like you said, it was one of those series where we basically, I think we showed what kind of team we had and have in a lot of situations. We played from behind. You know, I think everyone was making a big deal about that, but to be honest, you know, we weren't down three or four goals and we weren't making miracle comebacks.
Right.
We were down one goal. And, you know, whenever I don't care who you're talking to in the league or what guy you're talking to, whenever you're down a goal, you're never out of the game. And actually, in some respects, especially on the road, you might feel even more comfortable because you're able to pressure and you're able to really not worry about preserving a lead or sitting back. You know, sometimes when you're up a goal or up a couple goals, you tend to sit back and give the other team a chance to attack you. I thought our game four was pretty textbook, and you really couldn't play a better game in a tough building and in an elimination game. We held on 26 shots. Every time they scored, we responded with a goal. And you know, I think at the end of the day, I think it was a perfect series for us. I think you know, Winnipeg is a great team, and could have games gone another direction, of course. But it didn't, and I think it speaks to how we prepared, and I think it speaks to how guys individually came to play every night.
Andrew Cogliano joining us. Ryan Kesler had a great series. What's the addition of him meant? You didn't have to go out and seek a guy out with that kind of playoff experience and that kind of resume, a couple Olympics. You've got cup winners on that team already. That's your core. But what's he meant to your club in a year?
He just brings another element to the team that I think every team in the playoffs wants. You know, he's hard to play against. He could shut down any player that you put him against. And when he scores, and when he scores big goals, at the end of the day, he's not only just, you know, playing hard and winning faceoffs and doing the little things of the game. He's a difference maker. So at the end of the day, his pickup and the pickup we got over the offseason really made a huge difference for our team. And I think you see the benefits of that in the first round, and you know, hopefully he continues playing like that.
Well, congrats on the great series. Before we let you go, this feels like a fruitless exercise, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Vancouver or Calgary, is there a team in there that that you want?
Better restaurants. Where are there better restaurants? We think Vancouver, but we're not sure.
You know what? Like, I really do feel like they're pretty similar teams, and I think we've had success against them, both teams during the season. I think there's different elements of both teams. I think, you know, when you play the Canucks, you know, the Sedins are such a huge part of that team, and you have to shut them down. You're not going to win games. But then when you play Calgary, you know, if you don't outwork them, you're not going to win. So, you know, there's two elements. You know, I like restaurants in both cities, to be honest. But, you know, what I think it's a series that we're waiting for, that, you know, there's two different. They play different styles, and they have different elements of their teams, but I think at the end of the day, it matters about us, and if we play well, I think we could have success against both of them.
I guess the question would be, who does Kesler want? Vancouver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I bet he wants Vancouver.
He's given a terse no comment so far. Thanks for this, Andrew. All the best, and congratulations. It'd be great to see you guys make a long run, and obviously the series will get a lot of attention on this side of the border no matter what. So enjoy at least the breaks until the games start up again, and we wish you the best.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Andrew Cogliano joining us on Brady and Walker. Left Edmonton in 10-11, traded that summer. Two of his teammates now, they're not out there often together, but two of his teammates on that Oilers team, Jeff Petrie and Tom Gilbert, both important parts now of what Montreal is doing on their blue line. So a lot of people jumped off the good ship Oiler. Summer of 11 are playing in the playoffs.
There's a lot of solid ex-Oilers around the league, that's for sure. Hey, our favorite time of the week, it is Brady and Walker's Friday.
It's in about 7 minutes, really. But yeah.
That's true. So we do have a Sportsnet prize pack today for the best email we get in. And again,
who's deciding that?
As of...
God, what could be in it? What could be...
Probably...
It could be filled with
shirts and
gold.
Cups and cash.
Gold thing. Cups like jockstraps.
By the way, we save all the emails. So as of Monday, you want to get on next Friday's mailbag. Email us about anything.
It's
what do you want to talk about?
All right, start it off. What do we got?
All right. Here's some ones we printed off today. This one is from Jen in Brampton.
Oh, okay.
Jen says, is Walker going to accept Greg's Mayweather-Pacquiao fight party invitation? Are you guys even friends? Next Saturday, you're hosting a fight pay-per-view
I'm not talking
party.
About it with you.
You send out an evite? Well, there's no...
Did you want me to actually just send an actual invitation in the mail? Like, you would have made more fun
no,
of me for that.
The only reason
got
I haven't
printed out?
Clicked yes, or I guess I could click maybe right away. You do have a maybe, which defeats the whole
There's
purpose.
There's a maybe option.
Yeah. I'm gonna say maybe. You know, I don't know if I'm coming yet.
There should be a fourth option. Yes, no, maybe. Maybe not. Should be more, like, that's more slanted towards not coming. Maybe is hopeful. Maybe not the Raptors will win the series, but maybe.
Of course.
Yeah.
I feel like if I say yes, then you'll be happy, but then I'll get your hopes up. What if I don't show? That's rude, because you'll have extra, you know, spring rolls and stuff, and I don't know if I'm coming. I don't know if I'm coming.
It's not a bad idea.
My birthday, okay. My birthday's happens.
Oh,
to
now
be...
Okay, let's get a big audience next week if that's possible, and announce it on the show if you're coming or not.
All right,
don't do it privately.
What do you got?
Kyle writes in. Why does Walker never seem to? And he wrote criticize / slam the Blue Jays. Oh, well, Kyle, brother. It's a very good question.
We are 15 games in.
It's early
16
still.
Games in.
Yes, I know. In fairness, now they haven't had an awful season since we've been doing the show together. I mean, an awful full season. There was a 74-win abomination in 2013.
I wasn't here for that.
I know
that.
You only showed up for the last 18 games or so.
Listen,
and they had a top 10 payroll, but who's counting?
Okay, beginning of last year, I come in, and everyone and their dog is saying this is going to be the worst.
Tell
team
the Blair
ever.
Story.
Right. Well,
tell it.
Listen, I have a ton of respect for Jeff Blair as a baseball guy. He said, he'll deny it. He said the Blue Jays' rotation a year ago.
But not his honesty, just his baseball acumen.
The Blue Jays' rotation a year ago might be the worst rotation in baseball history. I said, no, they weren't.
No, they won't be.
Listen, they were a decent team last year. They folded at the end, sure, but they won 83 games, better than expected. Listen, do you want me to rip them? I think they're a pretty good team.
Yeah.
I do.
If
they have 60 wins, then I'm like, this team's awesome. Well, yeah, there's something amiss there. I don't know.
Still, whatever. I still think they should have kept Colby Rasmus.
You like every player that doesn't play here anymore.
Brett Laurie.
What?
J.P. Arcibia.
Do you think they're a lousy team
and we should be calling them lousy?
No.
I don't know. I'd be drop-dead shocked if they're not within, at worst, 3 games of a wild card with 2 weeks left. I think they're going to struggle, but...
Oh, every team's struggling.
Some teams clinch in mid-September. They're not going to.
Dan in Mississauga, since for me, says, Walker, don't you get sick of talking other sports with Greg? He's clearly just a hockey guy.
Ooh, wounding, glancing blow.
Let me tell you something. I'll be honest here. Greg.
Thank you.
Greg, I've never worked with someone that's more well-rounded. Like, Greg knows a lot of even weird, like tennis and football and soccer.
Ugh, thanks a lot.
God help us. He actually doesn't really know anything about hockey. That's like this worst sport, honestly. Like, you know a lot about lots of sports. Hockey's like near the bottom of the list. So if anyone thinks you're just a hockey guy, they'd be sadly mistaken. You're more of a football guy, soccer
that
guy.
That started out... I really felt like we were getting somewhere in our relationship.
I'm giving you a compliment.
I felt like we could watch the Bruce Jenner 2-hour interview tonight, and now I don't think we can. You're not invited to that either. Guy's like, hey, the Bruce Jenner thing, now you shouldn't go to a boxing party. I'm not inviting people over to watch Bruce Jenner with 14 people and hors d'oeuvres.
Well, at least
it's
not,
boxing. It's hand-to-hand combat and sweat and blood.
He's not telling people about
concussions.
It.
All right, Rocky says, hey, what's the deal? You guys never talk soccer. Do you even like soccer? Who are your favorite teams? That's a good question. Rocky in Vancouver. Do you have a favorite? I love the sport, and we'll talk. We'll talk it when there's big stuff going on. We previewed Chelsea Man United last week. I watched every second of it.
That was great.
It's not your favorite. Like, we already explained this with UFC
no,
2 weeks ago. Do you have?
That's accurate. It's
do
not,
you have
it's
a reason?
Favorite.
Do you have a team? Do you have a support? Your dad is English or British?
He is.
Same thing.
He's my dad is a fan of. Arsenal, I believe, or Newcastle.
They're in very different places. One's like
know.
In Timmins compared
in
to
England.
Toronto.
Did Newcastle fire their coach or something?
What, they recently? Always do that. They're sort of the Maple Leafs of the Premier League, to be perfectly honest.
I cheer for Edmonton FC. They are in the North American League. Don't laugh.
I'm not. I didn't.
My dad's actually a season ticket holder.
He'll
call me and be like, they brought in this new coach and he's too many Dutch players. I'm like, that. I don't care. I don't care.
Unlike the Blue Jays, where I'm a flex back holder and you're not. Like, one of us is trying to, you know,
hey, listen,
get some value for their money.
I'm really excited for you to go to your first game this year. That'll be great. When is that?
I feel like I've been
already. That, July?
I'm not going until they sort the turf out. I agree with the Orioles. There's something very wrong and conspiring.
Is that it? Do we have any more?
No, I think that's... we had one more. Sean did just tweeted in. We had 30 seconds to do it. And asked what we thought of the Dave Nonis interview in the Toronto Sun. Did you read it this morning? Steve Simmons had a little thing with Dave Nonis there. They were... He said, where are the critics of Dave Nonis now? And everybody giggled. And no one's giggling now, really.
I did read it. It was interesting. It didn't. I don't think Dave Nonis is a dumb hockey guy. It just really didn't work out here.
It didn't work out at all.
You know,
the word Clarkson's not in the entire article though. That kind of defines.
Unfortunately, that's what
the
he's known
tenure.
For. Is the Clarkson thing?
Right.
It was the undoing of it all. We'll talk to you on Monday. Hopefully, the Raptors are still going.
Hopefully so. Talk to you Monday.